So hi, Ashley, how are you today?
Hi, Colette. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks so much for agreeing to like talk to me while you're in the airport. Yeah.
Yep.
So you'll be traveling.
No problem.
Yeah, yeah. So you are traveling. You've been traveling. How are your travels?
Pretty good. Actually, this part of the year I'm traveling to see family. So we were just in the Midwest. And I'm going to be starting school up, so I'm heading back to Petersburg and in Ketchikan right now. But looking at a teaching schedule again, back on. I was taking a sabbatical last year, so getting back into the classroom with the high school, middle school kids, and I'm still going to try to balance my independent teaching, which is what I'll be doing in Wrangell on Saturday, catching a group of 11 ladies at the library and teaching torch, fire, enamel.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Do you normally give workshops?
So it was a little over a year ago, probably June 2023. I actually went over to Wrangell. My first class I did was in Wrangell. I went over and did a market at the Nolan Center, and then just rolled right into teaching a class. And the ladies that took the class were really excited and said, you should come back. We've got friends that want to take the class. And I said, yes, I will. So this is kind of my way of full circling back around. But I actually, Wrangell was the first place that I did teach. And I have been teaching kind of all over the place during my sabbatical. So I took a 1 year off from teaching full-time at the high school, middle school, teaching art, teaching jewelry, culinary, and some other things that pop in here and there. I'll tell you where I had been teaching. I was teaching down in San Diego. I went down three times, three different trips this past school year. And Seattle, two times. Florida, one time. Homer, I went up and taught one time. I had scheduled to teach in Kodiak, the same class I'm talking about that I'm going to be teaching on Saturday. It's just been a favorite. So it's been really fun just sharpening my lesson and having everyone excited about learning or retaking the class with me and making something different. But I've taught probably 20 plus classes at the library in Petersburg too. So it's just been a really fun thing for me because I'm an artist, so I'm passionate about my medium and my process, but I'm also a teacher, so I'm very excited about sharing. So it's fun because I've become this small business where I'm making jewelry and selling jewelry, but just a little over a year ago, I started tipping into independently teaching and sharing what I'm passionate about. And, you know, people that walk away from the class walk away with their own pair of earrings that they've made and knowledge of the enamel process.
That's amazing. That's really great. Congratulations on all of that. And you were able to take a sabbatical and, like, you know, do what you, your own independent teaching and work with that passion.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. I described it as a free range artist, like a free range chicken. I was pecking here, pecking there. Making like it was just kind of fun to like freeform it. I didn't know how my sabbatical would look. I did know I wanted to make jewelry, keep on doing wholesale orders with places and galleries and shops in Alaska, and a few in the lower 48. I wanted to keep that going and make that stronger because I have been juggling teaching, family. I have two kids. My husband's a fisherman, so I wanted to continue with my art business and take a year off from teaching at the school and just put a lot more energy into the business part of my art career.
Yeah, that's great. So I've seen your earrings on Instagram at the Rosie Fan, and they're all so beautiful and super colorful. And then through your Instagram account, I found out, you know, you've been selling them over the nation. I feel like I'm stalking, you know, but you have your earrings are in Wisconsin and you were recently in an art show in Colorado too.
Really cool. I'm just kind of pushing myself to take any opportunity if it fits my schedule. Again, I'm a mom with two kids and husband fishes, so I can't do it all. But in my mind, I'm like, I could try to do as much as I can. And I'm really excited about this kind of new chapter for me where I'm have the confidence and also have started making these connections with people just through teaching and also the wholesale orders. Like the one you just mentioned, I just started a wholesale order with a cute little boutique in Wisconsin, so in Door County there. So it's just been really refreshing for me because when I was 23 and moved to Alaska to start teaching, I knew teaching wasn't going to be my plan A. It's kind of plan B. Plan A was always to be an artist. I have a painting background. I have my master's in painting. And I knew I was going to just continue to juggle teaching in the classroom and pursuing my art in some form with the energy I did have. With those, 15 years rolling by with, teaching full time, pursuing my art, painting a lot, and building a family, I finally found myself at a point where I was like, I'm ready to do this. So I took that sabbatical knowing that I still have a position to come back to. It's kind of like a safety net. So if I didn't really figure out a career in a year, then I could go back. And I feel like I did find myself a career. I just still feel like I want to be connected with the school, with the high school kids. And I do teach the enameling to my high school kids. So it's just been a really nice full circle year for me to realize, what my skills are, what my interests are, taking a break, taking a breather, but really burying my head in what I wanted to do with the time that I did have. And I feel like I've got a nice path carved out here that for the next 2 years, it's going to be fun kind of building on it.
What are participants who sign up to expect with the Saturdays workshop?
So you don't have to show up with anything. I'll bring all the materials. They'll come in and we'll do some prep work. We'll talk about safety and then we'll just roll right into it. The process involves using copper. So copper is a metal base. Enamel is actually just powder, or it's glass in a liquid or powder form or a crumb form, if you want to think of it that way. So we will be specifically using powder form. So to get the powder on the copper and to torch it, we need to use a little tiny sifter. And the little tiny sifter will go ahead and shake that a little bit, vibrate that to release the powder glass onto the copper. And then we'll go ahead and elevate that up on a trivet. And then we're going to torch it, but not at a down position of 45 degree pointing up, so underneath. And that heats the metal, so you're not blasting that powder. It's not going to go everywhere. And then the heat, the metal heats up, and then that glass melts and adheres right to the surface of the copper. So then that's the counter enamel side. You kind of have to do some prep work. We'll do a little cleaning, and then we just jump right into it. I'll talk a lot about color. We'll use transparent colors, opaque colors. There'll be stencil options, and then sgraffito, which is an Italian word for carving out a color, tap color to reveal what's underneath. So I'll kind of explain a couple different techniques, and then they'll get to go ahead and make their own characters.
Okay, so the powdered glass or the powdered enamel is on copper.
Oh, good question. Yeah. So we're just going to be working on it like its own independent shape. It's not going to be the earring hook. Earring hooks will go on after we're done. So there'll be a hole punched through the copper, and we'll be working on the back, prepping the back, and then getting to work on the front for our design. Once it's all done, we'll do a little bit of sanding on the edges to break off some fire scale and some little parts of glass that might have gotten a little sharp there, and then earring hook options. So I always think of sensitive ears. I have a sister that lives in Philadelphia, and she has a strong allergy to lab metals. So titanium works for her, and titanium usually works for a lot of people that have some allergies. So I'll have options.
Okay, cool.
I'll have titanium, yeah, surgical steel, sterling silver, and then some other options to just a little add a little copper look if you're not don't have allergies. So yeah.
Awesome. And then you said 11 participants, right? Is the class full?
The class is full. It filled up in 2 days. So that's really exciting. 11, because that's what I have available to travel with. In Petersburg, I can do a class of 14. But there was a lady that did contact me to find out if she can kind of have a class running at her class, at her house, following my library class. The library has an event from 2 to 3, so I can't do two classes at the library back to back. So I'm going to go ahead and venture out and do like a little bit of a smaller class at someone else's house that's going to host. We were just kind of working it out. I don't know if it's open for people to sign up there, but this is information to let people know and wrangle if you're interested in having a private party, having me come over to do a class at their house, or, you know, a location that could host me, like a hall that could host me. I'm just trying to look at costs, so make it cost effective. Like, I'll have to get breakaway over, and then if there's a rental fee, that makes it a little bit more difficult for me to keep the price down.
Yeah. So hopefully, yeah, in the future, hopefully there will be another class that's available to the public.
Oh yeah. There will be, as long as breakaway can run and within the time frame, you know, before winter really hits, I think I'll try to do another one.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I want to take the class. I should have signed up for you.
Okay. yeah.
So how did you get involved with making jewelry?
You're going to actually love this story. So in 2018, the principal of the high school just sat down with me and said, listen, we need to look at budgets. There's a few classes that need to be kind of reworked or just dropped because of the cost of the class. They're looking at potentially dropping it. And I said, wait a second. I don't want this to be dropped. This class, this jewelry class, we were just doing silversmith, by the way. It was just silversmith, so expensive metals, and, you know, making rings and band bracelets, or cuff bracelets. And I'm not great. I wasn't great at it. We did pump out some work, but the teacher before me, who taught for 23 years at the high school, he built the program up from nothing and is an incredible silversmith artist. And I didn't want to drop it. I knew how much heart he had into it. And I was like, I can figure this out. I can figure this out. So I got approved from the school to go down to Berkeley, California in 2019. So it's kind of like a handful of months later, after we had that discussion about potentially dropping jewelry, I got approved to go down to Berkeley to learn enameling at a jewelry school. And it was just a week in class. I came back super excited, and I had posted something on Facebook just saying how excited I was about bringing this to the high school. And then the gallery in town, Fire Lake Gallery, reached out to me. I was in Juneau having a layover, heading home from Berkeley, and Micah, who's part owner of the gallery, stopped me and said, I saw what you were posting. I want you to know, once you guys get rolling with the class, and you have some inventory, I'm going to let you know there's going to be a shelf open for your high school kids. So you can sell the jewelry, the high school jewelry, at the gallery, and 100% of the proceeds will go right back to the jewelry program. I was like, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I want to do that. And then we did the October Fest, Christmas Bazaar, May Fest. So that year, 2019 to 2020, it was kind of turbulent, you know, 2020, but we still made it work. We need money, and when we suddenly turned this class, this jewelry class, into a self-sufficient class, we didn't need the school to help budget the class. We were making money, so starting with enamel, selling some enamel work for the high school kids, and then using that money to bring in the silver, the expensive metals, to then learn silversmithing. So that's how I got into the jewelry world.
That's really awesome.
I have I have, if I really dig back, I learned jewelry, silversmithing specifically, abroad when I was 21 in Florence. So I did have a jewelry credit under my belt, and I loved it. I do love earrings. So that kind of experience put me in position when I applied for the job in Petersburg, put me in a good position because I had this experience in Italy taking a one credit class of silversmith work. So that kind of put me the leg up. So they knew that that program was going to continue when the prior teacher, Brad Taylor, was leaving this jewelry program. They knew that I can come in and teach it. So yeah, so it's kind of like another full circle there. I wanted to keep that class going, and then suddenly it's surviving on its own. So it's been really great. And then I loved it. I fell in love with it immediately. As soon as I got home, I talked to kids. They were excited. I immediately, within a month later, I had a spot set up in our shop, at home, in our dance shop, with a desk that I got off of Buy Sell Trade for free, and set up a desk with all the enamel, you know, started building up my inventory, but I was enameling almost every day, and it has been pretty much going in that direction. Every day I'm down there working. I enjoy it. I'm passionate about it. My painter brain is very much involved in my compositions for my work, and I just enjoy both teaching it and creating it and selling it. So that's kind of my jewelry background.
That's awesome. And also, like, it's like just a sustainable economic way for your students to, like, continue making, you know, like, to support themselves too.
Yep. They're learning from me. And I had two kids, actually, that first year I started teaching it. Two kids take jewelry, specifically enameling, and take it on their own. They're like, okay, my birthday's coming up. I'm going to ask my mom for the supplies. Where should we order from? I'm going to do this at home. Actually, three kids. I forgot one, but another one did the same thing. So, yeah, it's been really exciting. And I'm, like, my excitement and their excitement has just been, like, just really makes a really fun environment for learning and for, you know, pushing it along. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So you obviously love, like, you make earrings. Do you make other types of jewelry as well?
I do. If someone asks for a set, if I do have a show, like I had a show at Annie Kill's in June, I'll make a couple sets, like a necklace earring set. That's kind of as far as it goes. I have been trying to venture into making bracelets. I'm not quite there yet because it is glass. So it's the copper is covered in glass. And the wrist, if you think of your hands, how much you use them, there's a good chance you might bang that against something in glass to potentially break. So I've done a couple test runs with that. And I'm not there yet. I feel like the cracking thing is not what I want to happen to my product. So,
yeah. And you said in Florence you learned silversmithing, and, you know, now you're doing torch-fired enamel. Have you done other types of modalities with jewelry making too?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I haven't even ventured into beadwork. I did make my earrings for my wedding, though, when I got married. There was, like, these opal shell circles, and it was already a pair of earrings. I took it apart, and then I kind of made it my own and added a couple pieces of flair. I had face paint on my face for my wedding, too, if that helps you paint a picture of who I am. I think, no, I haven't. I just have really fallen in love with the enamel because it's color, and I fall in love with color every single day. As a painter, color is super important to me. I'm still painting. I'll have a show in Petersburg in November, and it'll be mostly jewelry, but then there'll be some paintings. Like you said, I have a painting currently in Colorado in a show till the end of the month, so that's coming up quick here. So I'm still painting. I kind of love everything because I'm a teacher of, you know, all mediums in the art room. So I get to try everything. I love screen printing. I love block printing. painting, of course, all forms, watercolor, acrylic. And I'm hoping, I just applied for a grant, I'm hoping to bring in some fabric art this year, which I've never done before. Some, like, punch needle work with the kids and see how that works. So I just have fun trying things with the kids. And, I mean, there's a lesson in there. There's definitely some test runs and some, you know, research. And then I just try to encourage the kids to try a little bit of everything and find what they really love.
That's great. You sound like a wonderful teacher, wonderful art teacher.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this will be, I mean, I took that year off, but I'll be going back on year 16 teaching, so that's fun to think about. I'm kind of right in the sweet spot.
So what do you love about jewelry making?
I'm going to hold on 1 second.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. What do you love? I love that you can put a pair of earrings on or any piece of jewelry and it just immediately like boosts your energy or boosts your, you know, your mood. And I feel like that, I don't like to put makeup on every day. It's too much of a chore, but popping on a pair of earrings just really feels kind of the same. It just makes you feel a bit more put together, I guess. Jewelry making itself, the hand craft part is handmade. I really love that piece to it. I've really come to admire fellow crafters and artists for their handmade goods more and more, just from, you know, being in the world of not just fine art with painting, but the jewelry work is art to me, but it's considered a craft. I just come to really appreciate handmade work.
And are there any challenges with the with what you do with jewelry making?
No. Challenges with the jewelry making? Yeah, I guess so. Let me think. I love the whole process. There's nothing I don't love about it.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite piece that's
No, I really don't know. I have the first pair. You're just going to ask me which pair is most memorable.
The first
pair I worked with California. I brought that pair home, and, like, I had people replying and, like, coming up to me and saying, are the ones you're wearing, the ones you made, are those ones for sale? So, no, they're my first pair. And really, you can really show that I've explored color and how to work a composition in slightly, and it's been really fun. I'm actually boarding right now, so I'm going to kind of talk more quiet.
Okay. Well, that was my last question. Do you have anything else you would like to add about, you know, jewelry making or, you know, your upcoming workshop or future workshops since this workshop is sold out?
I will say that it takes zero experience. It takes a little bit of guts to get going with the torch because that's a little scary for some people. But once you get over that fear, it's really a wonderful and mesmerizing experience. From the process to the, you know, completed work. So that's the only thing I can add. And I'm excited to come through the Wrangle and potentially more classes in the future.
Awesome. Well, okay, safe travels. Thank you so much for talking with us on Talk on the Rock. That was Ashley Lohr, who is a torch-fired enamel jewelry maker. She makes earrings with the Rosie Finn.